One of the side effects of doing something for a very long time is that people start to think you're an expert, when in fact you're probably just an expert in doing something for a very long time. My best teachers have taught me not specific activities, but ways of approaching the world so that when your time comes and you find yourself with a duty, an interest, a fascination, an obsession, you do good things with it. You do the best job that you can. So, in that spirit, let me talk a little bit about process. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Peter Healy, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The actual beginning of any project is fascinating, finding piles of something that you want to make digital, or discovering boxes upon boxes in someone's attic or in their shed, which promises near infinite possibilities for what you might find. That beginning when you open up the first boxes and you discover what's inside are simply amazing, exhilarating, one of my favorite moments that I have day to day. But after that, things start to weigh down. Scope, scheduling, and process. The questions of how you're going to do this start replacing all the answers of what's inside the box. Throughout all the times that I found myself facing down a warehouse, an attic, or a simple set of piles trying to figure out what to do, I always tend to ask myself the same questions. Is this work that has already been done? Are there things in here that can be easily achieved elsewhere? Are there things in here that, while not in this exact form, are pretty readily available? While it would be wondrous to take a pile of magazines and turn them into high DPI images worthy of 1,000 years of future, there might already be a simple PDF or a collection of scans that did the job pretty well some time ago. That, to me, has to be put aside for the pamphlets, the writings, the newspapers that have no digital analog, and in fact, in some cases, this may be the only copy left on Earth. Trying to determine the rarity, the meaning of what you have, that, to me, is the important first step, and not just running towards a scanner because you found it. There's certain media that lends itself to being digitized. Beyond just the narrative that has happened in the present day, where something isn't truly saved until a digital copy is made of it, the fact is, just getting it out of where it is and repacked and labeled is in itself part of the process, and an important one. Maybe it's not ideal to have a warehouse full of to-dos, but it sure beats a disparate set of piles that are slowly, quietly, becoming smaller. That excitement, that initial wonder that people show when they find out something is out there, I understand that feeling, and part of my process is letting people know transparently what I'm up to. It's partially to inspire myself to work harder, but it's also to open up others' minds that the things they have stored away might actually have, in some way, historical meaning. A lot of times I've done things like talk about a newsletter I've just scanned, only to find out that somebody has all of the missing issues in their attic in an even better form, and they simply didn't know that it was in any way meaningful beyond taking up space in their lives. So some of my best process has been finding out ways to avoid process altogether, connecting folks who didn't know they were doing the same thing, Finding out that somebody has been working on something very similar for a very long time, discussing how they do it and what they might already have, and then offering them disk space and bandwidth that they didn't even know somebody would be willing to offer. I've been connected to people who've never heard of me, the Internet Archive, or even of any of the efforts to digitize the materials that they have, and those connections beat out any amount of work that I might be doing. Assuming I can't avoid the project altogether because somebody is already doing it, I try my best to assemble an understanding of what's out there. If I can find previous attempts that didn't work out, or find one or two examples that I can build from, I utilize those in coming up with whatever the parameters are for what I'm adding or scanning or working through. Starting out with each particular issue of a magazine, or working out how many episodes of a television series existed, maybe that there's hard drives that are mentioned in a message base and tracking down the folks who had them to see if they still do. I'm lucky because some people do that work for me. Sometimes I'll wake up and there's a notification that somebody has been discussing something and they mentioned me. And so I wander in with most of the work already done. I've worked with a lot of historical figures, people who did something in the past, and their relationship with their own history can really swing from one extreme to another. For each person that keeps every single scrap of paper related to any of the work they did, like Steve Moretzky, are other people who I talk to who have not a single shred of anything related to something that they are worldwide famous for doing. We all have different connections to the work we do. The day that someone is laid off, the day they decide to change what they do, the day they decide to move to a new town, will often mean a lot of boxes going into the trash. You, as somebody who's come in from the present day, are privileged. You know how it worked out, which items and objects and software titles turned out to be classics, a required part of understanding computer history. But a lot of folks didn't have that option, and so here we are with what we have. In terms of the actual work, the actual digitization or the actual processing that I do, I try to come up with a checklist, a very simple one, as simple as I can make it, because I'm going to be doing it many, many times, and producing something that doesn't destroy what I'm working with and can be used by others without ever meeting me. They will never have to meet me to work with something I've created. They can develop their own relationship, their own working with everything that I've done. Textfiles.com is a really good example. It's possible to go through the whole site without ever dealing with me. You'll find my fingerprints in the descriptions. I have a style and a personality in the descriptions for the text files, but you can also skip all that. Just download the files themselves and decide for yourself what they are. As soon as I could, I created a massive archive of everything on textfiles.com and uploaded it to the Internet Archive, where it can still be downloaded as the text files time capsule. Instead of restricting access to what I had gone through, the years and years of describing tens of thousands of files, I wanted it in as many hands as possible to ensure that the work I had done didn't have to be repeated. I brought this over to a project I've been working on to digitize all of the brochures that I've had over the years, all of the reader service cards that I filled out, all of the magazine inserts and catalogs that I collected when I was in love with what personal computers were going to be. Nowadays, I digitize at 600 dpi, put those images into a zip file, convert it to a CBZ file, and then upload it to the Internet Archive. The archive has a whole bunch of processes for making them turn into PDFs, being able to read them online, and they keep the original around. Therefore, all that's left to do is scan thousands and thousands of pages. My various storage units and storage containers tell the tale of how many times I've set off on this journey, the ideal of ending up with pages that can be read anywhere over a network. Sometimes I've even completed them. There's a moment when I sit down to work on something, whether it's a stack of pages or classifying a bunch of music or trying to figure out which floppy disks I have of a certain format, I try to make it into a task that I can do repetitively, over and over again, while I'm able to listen to podcasts, watch other pieces of work, or even have conversations with folks, living a full life, living a life of learning and communication, and not just isolating myself. I have discovered that if I get truly isolated while in the throes of turning something digital, it's not something natural for me. I want to talk with people. I want to touch events and people as they happen. I want to know what people are up to. And if I can make it so that my repetitive efforts are something that's pretty good and able to be duplicated without being destructive, I'll take that as a win. I also believe very strongly that processes like this are not just a completed, encapsulated effort, but also function as flags and pointers to others of the existence of the items you're doing. That is, I'll image the contents of a CD-ROM, and I'll scan the disk itself, but I won't go into every single piece of paper with that title, simply because I don't know which ones have value, and being able to scan things photographically has the longest chance of being done later, and with great improvements in speed. By putting up what I have, I alert others that these things exist, and they maybe give me other pieces of the puzzle, or tell me that of the 1,000 items I've done, 15 of them deserve closer recognition. You are working, after all, with invisible collaborators, people who you might be able to talk to after you're done, or people you will never meet, who are out there in the future, looking through these piles and finding value you couldn't have imagined. All of these processes, after all, are a wish. They're a wish that what you're doing has significance. They're a wish that they have meaning, that they'll have a second part that follows beyond you, like a relay race. This wish that you are part of a greater whole is embedded in any project, any process that you do. You want what you have at the end to not be the end. Whether it's a small amount of many others like it, or it's a unique project that nobody has ever duplicated, but that everyone feeds from, you want there to be another chapter in the book. These ideals of continuation and persistence are the heart of what I call my process. It's not some specific detail, a unique setting on a program that you're using, or the way you handle an object and place it inside of a box. It's the sense of faith that what you are doing has value. And while you may never become aware of what that value is, you have to believe, as I do, that it's going to be there. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bakoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Corey Thomas, Emilio Oliveira, Matt Reynolds, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. You can get so hung up on the technical details of everything you're doing. I try, when I set out now, to assemble a whole bunch of people into a room, virtual or otherwise, and ask them deep questions about how they do things. Because I try to find similar outlooks. I especially try to find the huge fights where two equally followed ideas are in conflict with each other and then I have to pick a side. I keep the people who have consulted with me in the process as I go forward. I ask them if a new thing I've never seen before is truly new, or do they have paragraphs of thoughts on what to do. As I said, there's a difference between being an expert and being an expert at doing things a long time. And the one thing I've done for a very long time is be willing to reach out for help.